The following podcast is brought to you exclusively by the Rad Rob Radio Network. Through the years, we all remember when we first witnessed a national tragedy.
Alabama wins!
We remember the good times and the bad times through either a song, a TV show, a monumental sports achievement.
For the first time in 86 years, the Red Sox have won baseball's world championship. Can you believe it?
Or even the smell of a particular food from when we were young.
To all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun.
Welcome to the show that will take you on a journey through time to relive those iconic moments. Welcome to RTW Rewind, where old school rules. So, without any further delay, let's introduce you to the host of the show, Rad Rob Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome back to RTW Rewind. You know who the fuck I am. Acknowledge me, Chargo.
You are acknowledged, Rad Rob.
I pretty much got this entire card correct, except for the Miz match. But that's because you fucking talked me into Miz winning. Other than that, I would have been 100% on the predictions. But hey, it's okay. This is the culmination of the Rad Rumble Week 2022, the third annual. 8 shows in 6 days, mostly because the Rumble's on Saturday and not Sunday. 9 shows if you count the bowling show I do too. So who's keeping track of how much work I do anyway?
A bowling show?
Yeah, you haven't listened to it yet?
I'm trying to think of what a bowling podcast. Huh.
It's not me and the intro and Johnny Petraglia Jr. and we break down bowling like nobody else.
Have I listened to it yet? Rob, do you know how many podcasts I listen to? My God, man. And then you keep me awake for 19 hours. This was a 19 hour long show.
That's fair. No, that's you're right. That's
it felt like it was 19 hours.
My bad. This is the Royal Rumble post-game wrap-up show here on RTW Rewind. Again, I am Rad Rob, joined by the beautiful, lovely, and talented Dr. Michael Jargo. Thank you for being here, as always.
Man, you better thank me for being awake.
Yeah, that's fair. Like I said, you took a nap this afternoon, which is more than I did.
I needed to. And we talked about this a little bit before we did the pre-show. The Royal Rumble is the most exhausting show of the year because it's a pro wrestling show has its peaks and its valleys, right? Like, you know, everything has that roller coaster kind of feel to it. With the Rumble, you do that every 2 minutes. True. You know what I mean? Where it's just constantly the up and down, the emotional ride that is the Royal Rumble. It's an exhausting show. And now they're doing 2 of them on the same show, and it's too much. I've always been against doing 2 Rumbles on the same night. Make WrestleMania 1 night, make the Rumble 2 nights. Do the men's Rumble 1 night, the women's Rumble the next night. 2 Rumbles on 1 show, it's just too much.
Yeah, you burn the crowd out, and the crowd was really feeling it at the end of the night for the men's Rumble, even though it was fairly decent Rumble. Welcome everybody to the show. The baby little Jimmy says, I don't know how to even describe how this year's Royal Rumble went. I liked the women's Rumble, but the men's, I guess he didn't like. Not a lot of returning surprises. Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
And I felt like it was that way for both Rumbles because, I mean, even the women's Rumble, they had announced like 23 of those women ahead of time. So, especially on the women's side, there's so many legends that they bring back. Don't announce them all ahead of time. Let us kind of speculate who it's going to be.
No, you're right about that. But I mean, really on the women's side, I mean, the roster is pretty thin. So, I mean, they have to bring back a lot of the nostalgia acts. Whereas the men's side, even though they did cut a lot of people, they still have a lot of people on the roster. And they didn't even bring up any NXT people tonight. So, I mean, that's a first.
I was going to say, before we even jump into the card, let's kind of address that. No NXT talent on this show. I especially expected it on the women's side, but no Bron Breakker on this show. I know the guy that AJ's been feuding with, I forget his name because I don't watch NXT 2.0, Grayson Waller. right?
Yeah.
People were expecting him on this show. He didn't show up. Nobody from the NIL program. I know there were some people that were kind of speculating on that.
Yep.
It was just legends and active roster guys and a bunch of tag teams.
Well, I guess that really shows you what Vince McMahon's vision is for 2.0. It's literally the developmental program, and he's not going to acknowledge them on the main roster. Which is fair. I mean, it's if you really want to go by it, that's fair, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a show, and I mean, as far as the WWE show goes, I think this was a fairly good show. But I feel like coming out of the Rumble, I have more questions than answers, and I'm not sure that that's necessarily a good thing as we go into WrestleMania season. But we'll kind of see how things play out here.
Well, the first match on the card, which shocked me a lot because I thought it had the potential to be the last one.
When it was announced, I was like, oh, damn, I was right. And then everything went downhill from there for me.
Yeah, pretty much. It was Seth Rollins challenging Roman Reigns, the head of the table, for the Universal Championship.
The championship of the universe. Get it right.
Yes, I'm sorry. I have to say this. I was pleased when the Shield music hit, and not just like the Shield, but the, you know, the actual older song, you know, Alpha, Echo, Delta, whatever the fuck it was. So, and then he came out through the crowd with his flak jacket. So, I mean, Seth did a good job to get inside Roman's head from the get-go, but I also love how he threw his little Joker spin on it, where he's just dancing through the fucking down the steps and all that. Obviously ripping it off from the most recent Joker movie, but who cares? He's doing a hell of a job with it. So you got to give him credit for that. And what hasn't been ripped off? It's entertainment. Like, what else are you going to do, to be honest?
To be fair, Joker was a ripoff not only of the Joker, but also of Taxi Driver. I mean, it's basically just Taxi Driver with the Joker added into it.
Yes. Yes. No, you're right about that. So from the get-go, we had the psychological battle with Seth Rollins trying to get into Roman Reigns' head. I thought it was a really good match.
Successfully.
Yeah, no, he did. Which is fine, because they have a lot of history together, so that is something you can pull off. Even though we've seen them fight numerous times already, the fact that there's still that bond there from when they first got in the ring, got into WWE. Did you notice Pat McAfee dropped Mox's name?
I did. And I did hear, I don't remember who it was. It might have been Mitchell Cole mentioned Ambrose once. And I mean, to get both references inside of the same match was kind of interesting.
Do you think Pat McAfee drives Vince McMahon nuts?
Absolutely.
On purpose. Like,
absolutely.
Vince is probably screaming in his ear, and he's like, I don't give a fuck what Vince says. I'm going to do whatever I want.
Well, I mean, the thing with Pat McAfee is Pat McAfee doesn't need this job. True. Vince McMahon can't control Pat McAfee, because at any given moment in time, Pat McAfee can be like, you know what? Screw this. I literally have millions of dollars in the bank. I don't need this crap.
Right.
And that's kind of how the relationship works. And it's a fun dynamic.
I love it. I wish everybody else wasn't afraid to do that. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Sometimes Graves toes that line, but I mean, he's still the company guy through and through. Like, we all know that, but McAfee's the fucking wild card, dude. And I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. It's good.
So getting back to the match, what did you think of the match itself? It was laid out differently than any of the past matchups we've seen with them. So it was a different program. So I enjoyed that.
I thought the match was really, really good. I very much enjoyed the aggression from Roman Reigns, but I need it all the time towards more than Seth Rollins. And I'm not sure how you get there with the Roman character. And of course, we'll talk more about Roman a little bit later on. I guess my question is now, Seth Rollins kind of the odd man out in this entire kind of situation, because I feel like at this point, even with what would happen later on the show, the match I want to see is babyface Seth Rollins beating heel Roman Reigns with what they did tonight. Like, I feel like you have firmly turned Seth Rollins babyface after what you did tonight. Roman Reigns still very much a heel after what you did tonight. And now I want to see Seth Rollins beat Roman Reigns, because Roman Reigns didn't beat Seth Rollins. to retain that championship. He still can't beat Seth Rollins in a big match, which was kind of the story going into it.
Correct. Which is good because it keeps Rollins strong.
But instead, they kind of go towards the Brock Lesnar direction, as we would see later on the show. So is Seth just the odd man out here, or are we going to get a repeat? Is this going to be a triple threat? Are we going to go back to San Francisco and do Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins for the championship of the universe?
Well, they showed his run-in in the video package tonight. So, you know, possible. Man, I'm okay with that because we've seen Brock and Roman how many times interject Seth into it where he's not running in there and getting a sneaky win with the Money in the Bank. He actually has to fucking go in there and wrestle the entire match.
Yeah.
I kind of like it. I do.
I feel like Seth Rollins wins that match.
And he's very well could. Because, I mean, Brock's not going to stick around for too much longer, right? I mean, he might come back at SummerSlam or whatever, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't expect him to be full time. So this is Brock's way out. If he doesn't get pinned and Roman does, there you go. Seth Rollins is a made man all over again.
I thought the match was good. I thought the finish was cheap. Like, if you're going to have Roman beat him, then beat him. I didn't like the way they left that door open because now I don't know where Seth falls on things.
Again, I kind of understand it just from a booking perspective where you don't want Seth to take a clean pin because they are building him up to be good once again and have a really good run. Because, I mean, he's still got a lot of, you know, traction left on the tires. And I think it keeps him strong by not getting pinned. It makes Roman look like a douchebag and really put the heat on him for getting himself disqualified because that's the only way he could have kept the belt. That crowd was fucking hot.
And they were into Seth Rollins. Like, they were super into Seth Rollins.
They were booing the fuck out of Roman after the match and after he beat the shit out of him with a chair twice. But who was Roman talking to when he looked up in the air? That's one thing I don't understand.
His tribal chief?
Peter Maivia or
Dwayne, I assume.
Dwayne's not dead. Why is he looking up? I hope we don't go that route. Like, Roman hears fucking voices in his head or people are telling him what to do. Or like, and he almost
That's Randy Orton's gimmick. It's already
exactly. And it looks like he had a little euphoric after he beat him up with a chair.
It felt like it went too far,
yeah,
given where the Seth Rollins character was coming into tonight. Right. Like, that attack after that match, I feel like it firmly turned Seth Rollins' babyface. And now I want to see Seth Rollins be the one to dethrone Roman Reigns.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the initial intent was to really get the heat on Roman and they didn't expect Rollins to be, you know, the sympathetic guy?
That's my fear, is that this was all done to get Roman his heat back because we're going with a very, very firm babyface Brock Lesnar going forward. Yeah. And I'm afraid that Seth is going to be the forgotten byproduct of this entire thing when he probably should be your lead babyface going into tomorrow night.
I guess we'll see what happens in the chamber in Saudi. Who wins coming out of that, right?
And there is a possibility maybe they do Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins at Blood Money 7.
Yeah, true. Which I can see. See, that's why I texted you when all this happened. I said, well, let Seth get a non-title win in Saudi, and that kind of gives him a reason to get a title shot at WrestleMania because they'll hammer on the fact that Roman can't beat Seth and has never really beat Seth cleanly.
And I feel like the problem is we have like this kind of shift in power going on inside of the WWE universe right now.
Right.
Like, okay, if you're going to pair off Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, cool. So Bobby Lashley is now the WWE champion as a heel, very firmly as a heel to me coming out of tonight, even though I felt like coming in, he was the babyface. Who are we going to put as the babyface opposite of Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania? It's not Seth Rollins, I don't feel like.
No.
Where does Seth Rollins fit into the plans going forward for WrestleMania? Because I feel like he's the odd man out with what they did tonight.
Well, let me throw this at you then. Why don't we put Drew McIntyre in the chamber? He wins it, and then he faces Bobby Lashley. McIntyre-Lashley is a great match, and that's the match I thought would happen if Brock didn't show up in the Rumble and Drew would have won it. I would like to see Drew against Lashley, and Drew finally gets his WrestleMania moment in front of actual fans and not in an empty performance center.
Yeah, but the problem is Drew is on SmackDown and Seth is on Raw.
But Brock has been everywhere too. Like, you know, the lines are always blurred. Brock, you have the pencil. Brock was
the champion, see, because he got thrust into that four-way because of Roman getting COVID. That's what screwed this whole thing up, right?
Right.
So to me, now Brock clearly moves back to SmackDown. Seth clearly moves back to Monday Night Raw.
Right.
I mean, babyface Seth Rollins versus the heel Bobby Lashley. Does that do it for you at WrestleMania? Because that just doesn't feel like a WrestleMania match to me.
That's what I'm saying. It's obviously WWE. They can do whatever they want. They've had the stupid, like, oh, this guy, they have four passes. They get to use their one chance to switch shows. You know, they can do whatever they want. It's storyline wise to explain why people are bouncing back between shows. It's WrestleMania. See, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, they write the shit. They can make up whatever excuse they want. So, I mean, I'm not going to throw it out there that it's, you know, Drew can't go over to Raw and challenge Lashley. But to me, if Brock and Roman is where they're going, I want to see Lashley against another huge guy, and that would be Drew McIntyre.
Well, I mean, just by process of elimination, that's pretty much Drew McIntyre.
Right. So you didn't agree with the outcome of the match.
Well, I mean, to me, if you're going to go forward so heavily with Roman and Brock Lesnar, I feel like I would have tried to close the book on this Roman and Seth chapter one way or the other.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because you could have done what you did with Roman tonight, whether Brock was going over later, whether Roman was going to go over in the original match and retain the championship. Like, I feel like rather than leaving that so open, you should have closed it before you started the other part of this story, because now there's this other thing kind of hanging out over here, you know, like, and then it just becomes convoluted.
I can't argue with that. I really can't. So we went to the Women's Rumble. After that, if I could find my picture, where's my picture? There it is. So again, not shocked because they pretty much announced everybody doesn't mean the goddamn match. Let's go over the eliminations and entry order just real quick here. Women's Rumble, Sasha Banks was first. Did you expect her to, you know, run the table from number one? The way she's been booked, you know, being on The Mandalorian, being the winning the ESPY Award. And another thing, before I get to this, what the fuck was with the video package of her, like, before the main event? Shouldn't that have been before the Women's Rumble? Like, that felt very out of place.
Here's what's going on with these incredibly random video packages, because I figured it out and it pisses me off, Rad Rob. Mm-hmm. It really irritates the snot out of me.
Okay.
Right? Here's what's going on. There are two different tiers to Peacock. All right? You can pay for Peacock without commercials, mm-hmm. which we do.
Yep.
Or you can pay for Peacock with commercials. So those video packages, that's where other people are seeing commercials.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So instead of seeing regular commercials, we're seeing out-of-place WWE video packages.
Propaganda.
Particularly really. For heels, making them baby faces.
Yeah.
Just at random points throughout the show.
That's a really good point. And that's why we saw the video of that gentleman from the Army.
And it pisses me off, man, because instead of seeing regular commercials, I'm seeing WWE commercials.
Yeah.
And I've paid for no freaking commercials. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just, it's so stupid.
No. And that makes sense that you mentioned that. But yeah, I just don't know why they put that particular promo package there or that commercial there instead of like before the Women's Rumble. That would have made more sense, especially with her being number one.
They didn't. It's all pre-programmed through Peacock because they have scheduled breaks after this match. We're going to a break and you just run a video pack.
That's fucking retarded.
I don't think that's even controlled by WWE.
That makes even more sense now. God, see, that's why we have you here. You're the doctor. So yes,
television.
The Women's Rumble. We had you do. That's right. Sasha Banks was number one. And Melina, from old school Melina, from way back in Eminem, was number two. And before they even locked horns, she was crying.
Yep.
Now, this is this can be considered part of the Forbidden Door because she does wrestle for the NWA as
Did they happen to mention that on the show at any point that, you know, Melina has been active at any point over the course of the last 15 years since the last time she was on WWE TV? Did they mention that at any point? Did they mention where you can tune in to watch Power on what day and at what? No, they didn't.
Which they could, because it's not going to hurt them because, you know, they're the biggest game in town.
And it's all prepaid by Peacock.
Right. Yeah, exactly right.
If we're the only two jamokes that actually sat down and watched all 19 hours of the Royal Rumble, or if 5 million people tuned in, they get paid exactly the same amount of money.
Yeah, yeah. Melina's split was still on point.
She's still active!
Did you like the banter between her and Sasha? Just kind of going back, one's the boss and one's, you know, the old school, like the bitch that ran the place.
No, I thought it was awful.
That's fair. I mean,
come on, Melina.
I didn't think Melina did a great job. I think it made her look horrible and didn't really represent her well as being a current talent on another promotion.
And let alone as quickly as she was tossed out on her ass. Like, this is what we think of the NWA.
Pretty much. Oop. Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much
what we got.
Melina was eliminated by Sasha Banks. Number three was Tamina, who had a pretty decent run. She eventually got eliminated by Natalya and Bianca Belair. Kelly Kelly was number four, and this is kind of weird for me. Like, Tori Wilson doesn't look like Tori Wilson used to look, and now Kelly Kelly has fallen into that category where she doesn't look anything like she used to look when she was in, you know, ECW.
Well, I mean, even Charlotte doesn't look anything like she used to look 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but, she paid for that, though. I don't know. I don't think Kelly did. I think Kelly's getting old.
Kelly didn't pay for that. That's what's going on.
That's fair. Kelly Kelly was eliminated by Sasha Banks eventually. Aaliyah was number five. Now, there's a lot of idiots roaming around Twitter saying that Aaliyah had a chance to win this Women's Rumble. I mean, come on, dude.
I mean, yeah, those people exist, right? I mean, the thing was, Aaliyah had a good story coming into this. I thought Friday night on SmackDown, Aaliyah did a good job of laying out, hey, why not me?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And they didn't tell any of that story of this match. Yeah.
She has a great ass, though. I'll just throw that out there.
Yeah, well, you know, she's Carmella Light. I felt that way since the first time I saw her in NXT.
I agree. She was also limited by, or no, she was limited by Charlotte Flair. Number six was Liv Morgan.
She was in there a lot longer than I thought she might be.
She was. And the crowd likes her, which is, you know, probably why. But she does nothing for me at all.
There is a lot of really, really great talent in this world that just does not connect with fans.
Yeah.
Right? Like, in one of the names that always comes to mind for me is Kenny King. Mm-hmm. Like, Kenny King has all of the talent in the world. He looks like $1 million. He cuts a great promo. But Kenny King cannot connect with the fans in any way, shape, or form. Liv Morgan is the opposite of that.
She is. No talent, but people
like,
love
she,
her.
But she connects with people. Yeah. Like, she's not that good in the ring. She can't cut a promo to save her damn life. She looks great. I mean, I'll give her that. But for some reason, the people like Liv Morgan.
Yeah.
So if I'm WWE, you know what I do? I push Liv Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
I actually do something with her.
Which we thought they were going to do when they had all those vignettes for building up her hype and her return and like her changing her whole persona and look and all that. But
although I will say, if this is going where it could go, all right, because Liv Morgan was eliminated by Brie Bella.
Yes.
Okay. If this is leading to a Liv Morgan versus Nikki and or Brie Bella, then this is great for Liv Morgan because that will get her over with a whole different inset of fans.
Yep, true.
This could be great if the Bellas are going to be around for any kind of period of time, which I don't necessarily expect, but Nikki, I could see coming back because, God, they need star power right now.
Nikki's boobs look bigger than normal.
Like she and had like Breeze looked smaller than normal.
I know.
It was like, weird.
They both had mom boobs before, but I don't know. I'm not sure what happened there. Bree looked really lean, like really, really lean down. But when she got pregnant, like her boobs just like blew up. Nikki's always had, you know, the implants, but now even like Maryse, like my wife was like, God, Maryse's boobs look bigger than normal. Like, I wonder if she just has the fat on top of the fucking silicone or I don't know, but they look a little jiggly tonight.
I don't know, man.
This is why I get award-winning commentary here on RTW. So, yes, she was eliminated by Brie Bella. Number seven was Queen Zelina, which I thought, you know, she might have had a chance to win as a long shot, given the fact that she left and came back. But that was not to be. She was eliminated by Rhea Ripley. Number eight was Bianca Belair, who made a really good showing. And you know what? I have been down on Bianca, and I was never a huge fan of her at all. I think the gimmick is obnoxious. I think the swinging of the hair is obnoxious. I think she is a bona fide heel with her mannerisms, but they haven't pulled that trigger. That being said, fantastic athlete, very strong woman. She came in like a fucking house of fire tonight and didn't look green anymore. She didn't look out of place. She took charge and was very, very clean with the spots that she had. She really, you know, she gained some respect with me tonight.
Outside of the four horsewomen generation, right? Because, I mean, there's kind of the group that came up with them. And, I mean, like, I even put, like, Alexa Bliss is in that category. Even Paige is kind of in that category.
And we didn't see Alexa tonight, which is very strange.
No Alexa, yeah, which I thought was weird.
Yeah.
But I feel like of that next generation of talents that we've seen come out of NXT, Triple H's NXT, Bianca Belair might be the biggest success story when this is all said and done. Yeah. I think she's absolutely fantastic. I do agree about the heel mannerisms and whatnot. Like, I think she is a natural heel.
Yes.
But people are just super into Bianca Belair right now. So they're running with her as a baby face. But I agree. I do think eventually the long-term money in Bianca is as a heel.
I thought she did a great job tonight. And I think they did a really good job of building her back up, because they really knocked her down a few pegs in the last year for whatever reasons. Yeah. So I thought she had a really, really strong showing tonight. Number nine was Dana Brooke. I've never been high on Dana Brooke. Like, she looks fantastic. She lost all that weight. She's another great athlete for a bigger girl.
I didn't even recognize her. Yeah. It's been that long since I've even seen Dana Brooke, because I don't watch Raw.
Right, and I don't either. But I thought she did okay tonight. I mean, you never thought at one point she was ever going to win.
I'm surprised we didn't get a 24/7 spot in the middle of the Rumble. I'm happy that they resisted doing a 24/7 spot in the middle of the
Rumble. She didn't even bring the belt down, so that kind of shows you what they think about that.
WWE showing restraint. There's something we don't see very often.
Imagine that. Dana was eliminated by Undertaker's wife, Mrs. Taker, Michelle McCool. Number 10 was Michelle McCool, who was eliminated by Mickie James. Mickie looked good tonight. I was surprised she came down with the Impact title. I didn't think they would do that. So you got to give them a little bit of credit for letting another promotion's belt on their TV, right?
It even said it on the graphic.
It did.
Impact Knockout Women's Champion.
I was impressed.
Of course, again, they didn't tell you where you could find Impact Wrestling or watch Impact Wrestling.
Well, nobody really knows.
Acknowledge that Impact Wrestling is a thing.
I don't think anybody knows where to find it. I don't even know where to find it.
I didn't think Mickey was really all that great inside of this match. I was really hoping for a lot more emphasis put on Nikki. She was in there for a little bit and then she was out.
Yeah. Did you notice, like, Brooke's top coming off? Says Lab Rat. No, I didn't either. I gotta go back and see if there's any nips there.
But I mean, at that time, I wasn't really paying that close of attention either, because look at the talent that was in the ring at that time. Like, ain't none of those talents winning except maybe Sasha Banks. Yeah. You know?
Sonya Deville was number 11. And I like the fact that, she's a WWE official on SmackDown, and when the jacket's on, she doesn't get in the ring. When the jacket's off, she gets in the ring. She sat down in the commentary booth. Here's the problem I have with this whole thing. And for me, as a continuity guy, as a historian of the Royal Rumble, if you do not get into the ring before the next entrant comes out, you are eliminated.
Disqualified.
And they just completely fucked that up. So, and it happened twice tonight, I believe. So,
but she makes the rules,
apparently. So,
because she's office, and she has no idea who Cameron is.
She could have slipped. So. She could have slipped in the ring, slipped back out, went in commentary. That would have been completely legal. But hey, you know, it's wrestling. Yeah. So what are you gonna
do? That's one of those nitpick things for us pro wrestling nerds, I think.
Yes, absolutely right. Number 12 was Nothing Happening, Natty Neidhart.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah. She was eliminated by Bianca Belair. Cameron, as you just mentioned, which, you know, even like Graves and Cole had to remind everybody who she was. She used to be Naomi's tag team partner.
Went over like a fart in church, man.
Pretty much. They were both.
Nobody remembered Cameron.
I mean, I did, but, you know.
Yeah, but you weren't there to pop for her.
No, she was. I was popping on the couch, so in more ways than one. She used to be a member of the Funkadactyls with Naomi when, well, what's his name? The Funkasaurus. What the fuck is his name?
Tyrus, the NWA World Television Champion.
Are they still wrestling? Really?
Yeah.
I know he's doing promos for Fox News and all that, and the app and all
He still shows up on Fox News with the NWA World Television title over his shoulder.
Brodus Clay, that's who he used to be.
Yep. He is the most over champion in all of professional wrestling. But if you like really want to get down to numbers, like, it's crazy.
Yeah. No, I always enjoyed him, and I thought he got a bad deal when it came to the whole
thing. When they turned him into the Funkasaurus.
Yeah. Although song still rocks, so I love that song. It's really catchy.
Funk is on a roll.
Number 13. Now we are going to Cameron. Number 14 was Naomi, who eliminated Sonya Deville. Cameron got eliminated by Sonya. Naomi got the payback for her.
And then Naomi got eliminated by Sonya.
Yes. Well, and Charlotte got the assist because she had her on the ropes. So there's that. But yes, Sonya Deville, who was no longer a legal participant, was able to pull Naomi out of the ring and get her eliminated. Which, okay, we've seen in the past. We've seen Giant Gonzalez do that and various other people. So I'm okay with that. At least there's a precedent for that. Number 16 was Rhea Ripley, who just seems to be getting more strange by the second.
Yeah.
She was eliminated by Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair was number 17, eliminated by, spoiler alert, Ronda Rousey, who I think was the worst kept secret in the entire history of wrestling this week,
right?
Like, yeah, the crowd still popped for it, which is cool, but we were all pretty much guaranteed that she was gonna be in it.
Yeah, we'll talk about Rousey when we get to her.
Number 18 was Ivory, coming down as the Right to Censor version of Ivory. I'm sure our buddy Big Stevie Cool was a fan of that.
I was a little disappointed in this, man, just because they didn't really let her do anything. Although she is the only one that they let talk, but it was just...
She had a life.
I thought you could have done a lot more with that.
Could have. She was gone in about 4 or 5 seconds. That leads us to number 19, Brie Bella, which was...
Shout out to Kibbles and Bits. I want to see her go full Bam Bam Bigelow.
Oh, yes. He said, I want to see Rhea go shaved head one day. She's almost there. Really?
Full Bam Bam, like the full head tattoo.
Yeah, I wouldn't even pay attention to her.
Be badass.
I only stare at one part of her body. Brie Bella, number 19, eliminated by Ronda Rousey. Number 20.
Might have had the pop of the night with the yes chant.
That was very shocking. I wonder what the office thought of that.
God damn it, Brie. That's what the office thought.
Pretty much. Mickie James is number 20. She was eliminated by Lita, who looked really good tonight, by the way. Yeah. Alicia Fox. Foxy was here. Eliminated by Nikki Bella, which is kind of fun.
And I thought Foxy looked great.
Yeah, she doesn't age. She really doesn't. Like, she's fantastic. I don't know why she's...
Just got a few more tattoos and learned how to throw a dropkick.
That's right. Nikki A.S.H. Was eliminated by Ronda Rousey. Nikki was kind of a dick tonight.
Man, if we don't get Nikki A.S.H. versus Molly Holly, I'm going to be seriously disappointed.
I want to see it. I want to see it, and we'll tell you why here in a second.
I just want the match to happen so I can read about it somewhere. I'm not going to watch it.
No, me neither.
But it needs to happen after what happened tonight.
I agree. Number 23 was Summer Rae, who looked absolutely atrocious. Like, worse than normal.
I believe that is WWE legend Summer Rae.
That's what they said, didn't they? Yes. Yeah. Yes. But she's not in the Hall of Fame, so.
Why would she be in the Hall of Fame?
Why would she be a legend?
Because she danced with Fandango.
She did dance. Nikki Bella, Summer Rae was eliminated by Natty Neidhart. Nikki Bella was number 24, got a really good pop. Eliminated by her sister, which, yeah, it's payback for Nikki getting rid of her last year or the year before.
Yeah, don't get the impression the Bellas are sticking around. Like, I thought the Bellas would be a much bigger deal, and they were not treated like a really big deal inside of this program.
Maybe Vince is pissed because they got themselves more over on their own than they did, you know, in WWE.
Well, and, you know, Mrs. Danielson. I mean, there is that, too. And there is the fact that Nikki and John Cena didn't actually get married. And, I mean, there's so many different reasons that Vince is probably not really happy with the Bellas.
Yeah, I agree. Number 25 was a surprise. Sarah Logan, who did not look in ring shape at all.
And Sarah Logan and Liv Morgan almost had a shared moment.
Almost. But then she was quickly eliminated.
And then they were torn apart like star-crossed lovers.
They were. The Bella Twins eliminated Sarah and gave her the big loser sign, which was pretty awesome. I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I felt like that was the office projecting as to why Sarah Logan was released.
They really needed somebody to fill spots. Like, they really did. Like,
yeah,
nobody else was available, apparently.
Well, and I wonder, like, was this supposed to be the Alexa Bliss spot? And Alexa Bliss couldn't make it, and they were like, oh, Sarah's here with, you know, her husband, who's one of the Viking Raiders. Just have her, like, throw some gear on quick.
Possible. I mean, you know,
I mean,
could be.
Why not, right?
What do you see with Alexa? Like, last time I saw her, she was still doing the fucking, you know.
She's in therapy, right?
Yeah, but, like, is that how they pull her out of it and get her back to her normal self? Like, they really fucked her into a corner by doing this whole Alexa's Playhouse deal.
Yes.
Like, if she just comes out normal with her old music and nothing ever happened, like, do people buy it? Do they get into it?
Well, I think people would have bought it before this whole therapy session crap. I think she could have just went away and come back as old Alexa Bliss, and everybody would have been like, shh, we don't talk about that.
Like, she took a vacation, went to Florida, you know, cleared her head.
Right.
She's good to go.
You know? Yeah. I mean, did anybody say anything when The Undertaker returned as the Dead Man instead of the American Badass? No, we just went with it, right? Like, everybody was just like, okay, cool, we're going to pretend like the whole Kid Rock thing never happened.
Yeah,
but no, we sent Alexa Bliss to therapy instead.
Yeah,
that's what we're doing.
So number 26, Lita, who had a pretty good showing tonight. I thought she looked well. I thought she moved well. Did the hurricane runner from the top, which is scary because that's what she broke her neck on.
Yeah,
but she pulled it off, so I thought she did well. What did you think of Lita tonight?
I mean, unfortunately, I feel like at this point, Lita is just another woman on the roster, which is kind of a testament to how freaking good Lita still is, right? True. You know, but I feel like she's kind of lost whatever WrestleMania main event luster she may have had a couple of years ago before we saw her come back the first time, where it was like, ooh, should we be looking at Lita as like a potential WrestleMania, like, you know, legend coming back to challenge for a championship, get one more run. Like, I don't think they're viewing Lita in that way.
Which I thought we were going to get out of Trish a couple of years ago too, but that never happened.
Didn't happen.
Lita was eliminated by Charlotte Flair. Number 27 was Mighty Molly, who got attacked by Nikki A.S.H. before she got to the ring, and then
almost a supervillain.
Almost. Then she threw her in the ring and then threw her out of the ring. So not a good showing for Mighty Molly.
No, not unfortunately, not a good showing.
Number 28 was the returning Rowdy Ronda Rousey, who had a new outfit. And
the Shadow knows.
Yeah.
I felt like that's what she was dressed like. She was dressed as the Shadow Ronda
Rousey. Good point. That's a good point. I'm just wondering why she picked that outfit. Maybe because she didn't have to pick her shorts out of her ass for, you know, the entire match?
Or maybe she is a little self-conscious coming back maybe after having a baby. I absolutely thought it was a little odd that that's how she was dressed.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's just, it's the female thing. Like, my, you know,
Ronda Rousey is a very insecure person.
Yeah.
She really is. If you go and watch interviews with her and whatnot, like, she is a very fragile and insecure person. I could absolutely see her being like, nope, I'm going to cover up as much as humanly possible.
She's still badass though. I'll give her that.
I guess so. I'm sorry. I've never been into Ronda Rousey.
Apparently.
But I also feel like when she got beat the way that she got beat, that was the end of the star power of Ronda Rousey. Like, I feel like WWE thinks that Ronda Rousey is a much bigger deal than what she really is at this point in her career.
But she got beat by the man, the greatest women's wrestler on the planet. Come on, man.
Well, no, I'm going back to UFC. When she got knocked the fuck out in UFC, her. Like, I feel like her star power got knocked the fuck out with her.
Okay, so you're not even talking about WrestleMania with Becky T-Belts. Like,
once you know that she's not the baddest woman on the planet anymore, you can't advertise her as the baddest woman on the planet anymore.
They just call her the baddest woman in the WWE universe is what they should have done.
It's just not good.
Did this Rumble have the most mothers in it? That's a good question.
I believe so.
I think so. Yeah.
I think so.
Moving on to number.
I think there were more mothers than non-mothers in this year's Rumble.
You may be right. Maybe right. I'm not going to take the time to count. But number 29 was Shotzi, No Talent Blackheart. She didn't last long because she's god awful, horrible, never liked her. I don't care what you think of her. I'm not even going to ask you what you think of her. She sucks.
I'm incredibly indifferent to Shotzi Blackheart. I'm just happy that the frickin' tank is gone.
Yes, I agree. I've never been a fan of the gimmick, the howling, all that shit. Even without the tank and the hat and the wear, you know, I just think.
Yeah, no, I
don't get the gimmick. I don't.
What I'm not sure of is there's still talent underneath of the gimmick. Like, is it the gimmick that turns me off, or is it the performer? And I've never quite figured that out. I'm very indifferent on Shotzi.
Yeah. Yeah, I have been too, ever since she came in NXT. She was eliminated by Ronda Rousey as well. Finally, number 30 was Shayna Baszler, who I thought may have a chance to win. But then, you know, I figured there's no way Ronda's going to get thrown out because that would just look stupid. But
they at least could have gave Shayna the final two spot.
Yes. Could have.
You know, like, you could have gave Shayna that rub. Charlotte didn't need that rub. Shayna needed that rub, and they didn't give it to her.
And here's what kind of pisses me off about the whole Charlotte thing being in the Rumble. Only because of the way they worded it. If Charlotte would have won, and she is the SmackDown Women's Champion, she could choose whoever she defends the title against at WrestleMania. That has to be the dumbest fucking statement anyone has ever said on WWE television.
Well, I mean, to be fair, there is precedent for this inside of the world of professional wrestling. Rad Rob, do you know what happens if the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion happens to win the G1 Climax?
You already know that I have no clue.
He gets to name his own challenger at Wrestle Kingdom.
But then she could just say, I want to face fucking Linda McMahon. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it could be anybody she wants. Like, it's dumb.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's smart because they did say, well, she's protecting her investment. She is a SmackDown Women's Champion. If she wins, then, you know, she's guaranteed a main event spot at WrestleMania. They could have left it at that. They didn't have to mention she can choose her own challenger.
You know what? I did notice. No, you're no longer guaranteed a main event spot at WrestleMania. You are now guaranteed a championship match at WrestleMania.
That's a good point.
They changed the wording year. I thought that was very interesting.
No, you're right. I didn't pick up on that, but no, you are right. But I thought that was at least better than saying, oh, she can just face whoever she wants. Okay, well, I'm going to face fucking Mae Young. Whatever. Pull her out of the grave, pay her, pin her, that's it.
I kind of want to see Shayna Baszler versus Ronda Rousey. Like, more than I want to see Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey, and more than I want to see Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey, I want to see Shayna Baszler versus Ronda Rousey.
Ronda wants her win back from Becky, and if they're smart enough to pull the video and show that the finish was botched and that her shoulder was up, that could come back into play. I would be happy if they did that. But will they?
So we talk about Seth Rollins kind of being the odd man out.
Right.
assuming that we do Rousey versus Lynch at WrestleMania, who's Charlotte going to wrestle?
Doesn't matter.
I mean,
Asuka, maybe. Maybe Asuka makes her return and gets her win back. That's possible. People would like that.
I guess.
People, I mean, I don't care either way, but I mean, the fans would like it.
I mean, yeah, I guess so. It's just, I kind of feel like Charlotte's the odd person out too, you know? Like, it's just, I don't feel like there's that clear, and when you look at the depth chart over on SmackDown.
Yeah, that's true.
Not a whole lot.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I don't really care what Charlotte does, to be quite honest. I know RBV does.
I'm with you.
But I could care less. I'm over it. So Charlotte eliminated Shayna Baszler, the final two. Were Charlotte and Ronda Rousey, and obviously we know what happened. Ronda Rousey won the Royal Rumble. She is moving on to WrestleMania to face whoever they mentioned, whoever she wants. They didn't even say it was a foregone conclusion, but
would you be surprised if Ronda Rousey picked Charlotte Flair for her match at WrestleMania, and the other match is Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch?
I would be. I would be surprised, but I'm okay with that. That's a good surprise.
I would not be surprised, because I know Ronda Rousey was a big part of the negotiations with Fox, and it would not surprise me to see her go to SmackDown rather than Raw.
That's fair. No, that's a good point. That's a good point. Astute observation, Mr. Jargo.
Although I think it's the wrong decision. I mean, I feel like that's a very real possibility.
Yes, absolutely. So after this was the women's title match, is that correct?
Yep.
Which was Piper Niven challenging Becky Lynch. Crowd hated it because they were burnt out. Well, I don't say they hated it. They were tired from the Women's Rumble and obviously the first match of the evening. So this was a kind of weird spot, but I guess only spot it really could have been, correct?
They kind of tried to use this as a cool-down match between the Women's Rumble and Lashley versus Lesnar. And I think that kind of backfired on them a little bit, because Piper Niven, as expected, went out there and had a killer match with Becky Lynch.
Yep.
I'm with you. The crowd was exhausted after the Rumble, which is one of my big complaints about doing two Rumbles on one show.
Yep.
But I thought the match was absolutely fantastic. I thought it was really, really good. Might have been the best match of the night.
I don't know if I'd say it was the best match of the night, but I was entertained by it. I thought Piper had a great showing. And yep, honestly, you don't want to put Edge and Miz in that spot, because, I mean, they're high-profile names. So they wanted,
yeah, I guess
they wanted the crowd to have some energy for that match. So I guess it's luck of the draw, really.
Yeah, they were in a no-win situation, but I thought they absolutely went out there and killed it.
I agree. Manhandle slam from the second turnbuckle. Do you agree with that spot?
Why not? I mean, Becky had hit Piper with everything else that she had at that point. You know what I mean? And it wasn't enough. Like, I thought they made Piper look really, really good throughout this match. And I thought that she rose to the occasion very much the way I expected.
And they show great replays of Piper just crushing Becky. Absolutely. Doing the senton on her, just probably broke her entire rib cage.
I'll tell you what, for a big girl, she is incredibly athletic. She's like the female version of Kevin Owens.
Well, she did.
Like, looks are just deceiving.
When she did the somersault in the corner that Kevin does. That looked fucking brutal as shit to take too. So,
oh man,
and Becky's so small now, like even smaller than when she was before. She's tiny, and she got crunched. But so I mean, we didn't expect Becky to lose her title in this match. So I mean, it was what it was. But you're right. Piper put on a good show for herself, and I don't know what they do with her from now on. I guess she's just going to be another player lost in the shuffle. I don't think she'll ever be put in this spot again. I think she will.
Really? I think Piper will get herself over, and I think that there will be a groundswell of support for Piper Niven, and I think you're going to see her rise up the card.
I hope so for her sake, and I hope they change her name back.
Yeah, me too.
Which, I don't know, they might not. What else we got?
You know here? What it is?
Yes, sir.
She's a double D.
That's a good point.
Dewdrop. Yeah. I guarantee you that's where it came from.
Yeah. Goddamn Vince. I'm telling you.
Yep.
Never changes. After this, we had the men's Royal. No, we had the World Championship match, or the WWE Championship match between Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar. This match went longer than we both anticipated. I was
surprised. They did the Roman swerve, right?
Yes.
And the Heyman swerve. They finally paid all that off.
Which I called, by the way. I just want to point that out that, you know, I was right about that.
I feel like the thing, though, is, Red Rob, there were so many people calling for it.
Yeah, I called the first.
You know, and I feel like this is one of those... Sometimes the most logical storytelling is the best storytelling, and that's what you do, even if it's kind of predictable.
I really did. I had a very strong feeling that they weren't going to do anything outside the box. They already had a strong vision of where they're going. That's the only logical outcome to tie the loose ends, and it made sense.
Now, the question is, why? Why would you do that? Because, number one, Roman Reigns already had mad heat coming into this match.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. So Bobby Lashley was getting over as a babyface. People were really into Bobby Lashley. You turned him full-blown chicken shit heel tonight.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley's character should not be happy with Roman Reigns. He should not be happy with the way this whole thing went down. He should not be celebrating as he is walking to the back. Like, he just actually beat Brock Lesnar, especially when Brock had him down for a 20 count.
And MVP did nothing to get involved. Nothing.
Yeah.
At all.
Nothing. I think Lashley looks really bad coming out of this. Brock Lesnar loses the title. Roman Reigns already had the heat. Like, I just feel like the way that this went down, as predictable as it was, and as many people that have kind of been calling for this and to kind of wrap up this Paul Heyman storyline and where his allegiances lie and everything, going back to Blood Money, right?
Yep.
I really feel like they didn't do anybody any favors inside of this match.
Well, it goes to what you said during the pregame show, is they don't see Bobby Lashley as the next big thing, as, you know, the guy.
And now he is a full-blown chicken shit heel.
Yeah.
Like, it really bothered me the way that Lashley was celebrating as he was making his way out, you know, like,
agreed.
Holy shit, I just beat Brock Lesnar all by myself. Yeah. Like, no.
That leads to me thinking that maybe we will get a heel Lashley and a guy like Drew McIntyre or maybe AJ Styles to challenge him at WrestleMania, and he goes back to being the almighty heel.
Yeah, I feel like you have to have a clear babyface challenge Bobby Lashley at this point, but I don't feel like that babyface is Seth Rollins.
No, I don't either. Not yet, at least. We got to see how that pans out in the next couple of months.
No, because Seth should be on a mission from whatever Messiah it is that he is praying to when he looks in the mirror, and he should just be obsessed with Roman Reigns at this point.
What's up, Sonic?
I mean,
yeah, no, for sure. Which could still be. We don't know what's going to happen. Anything can happen. Anything can happen to WWF. We're seeing it, or literally anything. It goes back to the old adage, like I said. Lashley doesn't take a clean, or Lashley, you know, gets the win, which it's against Brock Lesnar, is because of the chicanery. Does that make Bobby look bad? Probably. But I don't think Vince or anybody that was booking this is seeing it that way.
I mean, I feel like the problem is that 20 count.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Brock had him down for a 20 count. They had 40,000 people count to 20 with Bobby Lashley looking at the lights.
Yeah.
And then he celebrates like he just won
won the gold
medal.
Yeah.
You know, for beating Brock Lesnar. And that just really rubs me the wrong way with the Bobby Lashley character and the way that Lashley has been presented. It didn't feel like it fit at all.
But see, with MVP there, I get why he could go back to being a heel again, because MVP is just not a babyface at this point anymore. He just,
I agree with
you. Know what I mean? So maybe the way they presented Lashley over the last couple of months was just a quick way to get through this rumble and get things back on track to where they want to go. And they had no other choice because they didn't have anybody credible as a babyface. I don't know. I really don't know.
Thing with Lashley, people were getting into Lashley because Lashley was a badass. Like Lashley, it was very much the Brock Lesnar thing where I've been arguing for years now that Brock Lesnar is not a heel.
Right.
Like I felt that way forever. Like Brock Lesnar wasn't shitting on the fans. He wasn't going out and like punching people in the dick. He wasn't, there was no interference.
Right.
Like he was just going out there and dominating people. And that's what's supposed to make Brock Lesnar a bad guy. No, we like cheering badasses. Look at Mike Tyson.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like Mike Tyson wasn't a good guy, but we wanted to cheer Mike Tyson because he was going to knock a motherfucker out.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's what we wanted to see. We enjoy watching Brock take people to Suplex City. It's fun for us. We enjoy violence. We're a violent people. And Brock Lesnar is the most violent. Bobby Lashley was getting there. And tonight, they kind of cut off his balls.
They did. You got to mention, Brock was selling a fuck ton of merchandise, too. Like, every town he went to. Like, everything, every town was Suplex City. Absolutely,
Suplex City.
And I guess the only thing that really made him a heel by proxy was, number one, who he was facing. But number two, Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
Because Paul Heyman is just a sneaky Jew, and people
he's a dirtbag.
They don't like him.
I mean, yeah, he's a dirtbag. That's why he hangs out with Samoans instead of Tongans.
Don't start a race war between... island war between the two.
I will take Haku versus every Samoan on the face of the planet.
My money
is on King Haku.
Even at 75 years old.
Yep.
Toughest guy on the planet, they say.
God damn right.
Toughest guy in wrestling. And you'll ask anybody, and it's him.
I shook hands with him once. I thought he was going to tear my arm off and beat me to death with
it. Oh, shit. Yeah. That would have been a sight to see.
Yeah.
So in any event, Brock Lesnar lost because of Roman Reigns' interference. Paul Heyman gave Roman the belt. Roman knocked him out with the belt. So the belt story gets paid off, right? We mentioned it during the pregame show. They never paid that off, I assume.
Nope, they never paid it off.
You know, this is the payoff, I guess, for that.
I guess.
So it was a Heyman swerve the entire time. He was... infiltrating.
It was all a ruse.
Yep. Well, I mean, that's typical Paul Heyman, right?
But the other thing that does is it makes Brock Lesnar look stupid. And the first thing that Jim Ross says in his book is he was told by Cowboy, never make the baby face look stupid. Mm-hmm. And they made Brock Lesnar look like a giant freaking moron sitting up in Saskatchewan in the cold doing his ice fishing, trusting the Jew. I mean, you know what I mean?
Well, but let me kind of throw this at you then. Paul Heyman is very vindictive. He's very manipulative. Very good talker. We know he got people to drink the Kool-Aid in ECW. He got people to stick around even though he wasn't even paying them, for fuck's sake. Paul Heyman knows how to turn the charm on when he needs to. Brock has a soft spot for him from back in the day. I guess that's the only way you can kind of explain it off to, you know, Brock not being a jackass. He loves Paul Heyman.
The problem is the three chapters that they skipped because of Roman getting COVID. Like, right. And then, you know, so Brock finds himself in the Fatal Five Way. He wins the WWE Championship.
Yeah.
And then he shows up with Paul Heyman on Raw the next night. And they never explained any of that.
True.
They just skipped like three chapters in the book.
Where did you think they would have gone had that happened at day one? Who wins the Rumble? Who wins the title? I mean, the whole landscape of WWE got changed, but I mean, what would have happened?
Well, I mean, it has been said that their plans for WrestleMania did not change because of Roman getting COVID. So clearly they were still going to go to Paul Heyman screws Brock Lesnar
at some point.
Day one.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's the reason for the rematch going into WrestleMania.
Well, I guess Lashley really gets a nice little rub and a little payday out of it then. If that's not the original plan, he wasn't going to be involved. Yeah, but
they completely destroyed his character in the middle of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's going to be tomorrow night's Monday Night Raw or Monday night. God, I'm so used to pay-per-views being on Sunday. That Monday Night Raw is basically going to be rehab Bobby Lashley night.
Yes. Yes. They have to. They don't have a choice.
Yep.
Our final match before the Men's Royal Rumble was Edge and his wife, Beth Phoenix, the Glamazon, taking on smoking ass Maryse and The Miz. I thought it was a really entertaining match. Maryse especially. She hit a hurricane run off the top. Mama Maryse with two kids fucking hitting a hurricane run off the top. Come on, man.
Almost pulled the lead and broke her neck doing it.
Almost. But she pulled it off though. I was pretty impressed.
She did. Even she was surprised.
She was. I think she was. weird hair choice lately by Beth Phoenix. I don't get it. I like the old Glamazon look. I don't know why she went full, like, I don't know, would the beast mode. I don't even know
why Beth Phoenix is on my television in 2022, but you know, here we are.
True. But hey, also I mentioned to you during this match in text that first ever husband and wife Hall of Famers and first ever tag team that were both active Hall of Famers. And if somebody wants to, you know, look up the history and correct me on that, to my knowledge, it's the first ever tag team that were WWE Hall of Famers. So there's that. Yeah.
There is that.
Fun fact. Obviously, you didn't seem too impressed by this match.
I mean, it was exactly what we thought it was going to be. You know what I mean?
Except like, for the result.
Well, it was a matter of, is this program going to keep going or is this going to be the end of the program? And it looks like this is the end of the program. So Miz will go off his direction and Edge will go off his direction as we get ready for WrestleMania. I thought they might rematch it, but you know, they're going to do something else.
What's the point?
Right.
See, I would have rather seen a singles match between Miz and Edge now, and then you pay it off with the feel good, you know, nostalgia match at WrestleMania with the wives.
Right. Yeah. No, I completely agree. The only thing is it's a little too John Cena, Nikki Bella.
True.
Which is the last time they did Miz and Maryse, right?
Yeah, but at least Beth and Edge are married and, you know, Nikki and John never did.
Right. Right. But I mean, it's just, yeah, it was there. I mean, it's the Edge and Miz.
Yeah.
Right. And Maryse and Beth Phoenix in a mixed tag. And it's pretty much exactly what I expected that it would be. It was there.
Yeah. So what do we do with Edge moving into WrestleMania then? Like, just obviously don't have any big plans for him being a major role. He's just kind of like the Jericho role in the last couple of years, just putting people over, I guess. I don't know.
Could you see Edge and Bobby Lashley?
Could I? Yes. Do I? I don't want
it doesn't that. Seem like a great matchup on paper, does it?
It doesn't. That does nothing. Absolutely nothing for me. Even though it's a fresh matchup and it never happened, it does nothing for me at all.
Yeah. It doesn't seem really appealing.
And it won't really benefit either guy either.
No, nobody gets over in that.
Nobody. Yeah, nope. I agree. That leads us to the final event of the night, which is the Men's Royal Rumble match. Not many surprises in this one at all. In fact, none, quite honest. Like, no real big nostalgia acts, no kind of feel-good moments.
Well, I mean, what have they got left for nostalgia acts?
You got Ted DiBiase, you got Sergeant Slaughter, you got...
Do you trust any of those guys going over the top rope and falling all the way to the floor at this point? Like, we're talking a bunch of very elderly gentlemen at this point.
I thought maybe RVD would make another appearance.
Possibly. Oh, yeah, RVD's a good one.
Yeah, but other than that... in fact, there's a documentary coming out with him, I think, on the network, which looks good.
I feel like the problem is they were so reliant on Attitude Era stars for so long that now the Attitude Era stars are getting too old.
Yeah, like Godfather and everybody. Like he's pretty old.
Like they're not spring chickens anymore.
No, not at all.
And when you look at Ruthless Aggression, unfortunately, there's a lot of those guys that just aren't with us anymore.
That's true.
You know? Yeah. So it's really hard to get the legends to come back when they just don't have them.
That's fair. No, that's absolutely fair. AJ Styles was number one. You picked up on something that you texted me about. He did the HBK knee-bended pose, flexing the guns, going in at number one. Obviously, Shawn Michaels went wire to wire in 1995. You thought maybe this could happen again.
Well, it was a matter of, was Lesnar going to be in this thing? And if Lesnar wasn't going to be in this thing, who else should we be looking at, right? Yeah,
right.
And so I thought maybe AJ could go wire to wire, and it really kind of seemed like that's kind of the direction we were going until AJ ended up getting tossed out by Madcap. But, I mean, it was like, what, two-thirds of the way through the Rumble before AJ ended up getting tossed out?
And really anticlimactic with those two retards.
Yeah. Yeah, it felt very anticlimactic, and I really felt like AJ could have been poised to win the Rumble this year.
I agree. And he looked fantastic. He looked phenomenal. He is. He's absolutely phenomenal. He is the only homegrown Impact wrestler that has ever had a run that big, that huge.
Which it was the run in New Japan that really got him to that point, right? I mean, the Impact thing is the reason that he went directly to the main roster instead of having to go through NXT, but it was that New Japan run, and really the match with Shinsuke Nakamura that ended up getting him signed and brought over to WWE. And then, you know, he ends up flying halfway across the world to face off with Finn Balor in Detroit and has a 5-star match. And immediately he's Vince's guy. Like, he was over with Vince at that moment in time. And I do feel like we're going to get another good AJ Styles run on top with the championship. He might even be the guy to go on to face Lashley. Yep. But yeah, I didn't think it was unreasonable to think AJ might be the guy.
And he's a nice guy anyway. Like, he's a great dad. He's by all accounts. He's a great guy. He's a Christian. Like,
and he's a company dude.
He's a company guy. And he even went on Twitch and, you know, said all that. And he was, I think he might be the only one that was allowed to keep his Twitch page during all that time too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once you get over with Vince, you can do pretty much whatever the hell you want. When you fly from South America to Detroit and put on a 5-star match, you get over with Vince.
Right. Speaking of Shinsuke Nakamura that you mentioned, he was number two. So, and they did actually kind of mention that they have history together. They didn't actually say New Japan, but they did say they have a long history together, which is cool. I'm kind of glad
that it was better than their WrestleMania match.
It was. Yeah.
That 2 minutes of them facing off tonight was better than their entire WrestleMania match.
I enjoyed it, but Shinsuke got eliminated by AJ pretty early. Like, I thought Shinsuke would have a bigger run in this.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that people don't know about Shinsuke Nakamura.
Okay, do you want to elaborate at all?
Stevie Richards brought up to me one time that when he was in the Rumble matches, he always wanted to be the guy that was going for like the Santino record for how quickly can I get eliminated, because I get paid the same if I'm in the match for 8 seconds or if I'm in the match for, you know, 35 minutes. I'm getting paid the same. Get me in, get me out, pay me, let me go on my way. All right.
That's true.
Shinsuke Nakamura, as great of a talent as he is, even when he was in New Japan Pro Wrestling, he turned it on at the beginning of the G1, and it stayed on until Wrestle Kingdom.
Yep.
And the rest of the year, he was lazy ass. I ain't giving you shit, Shinsuke Nakamura. And if I'm going out there to lose, beat me in about 30 seconds so I can get to the pay window and I can get the hell out of here.
Really? I never knew that about him. Yeah.
That was always the rip on Shinsuke. He would... Very much like Shawn Michaels. Like, when you look back at the Shawn Michaels career, he turned it on at the Rumble. He turned it off after WrestleMania. And the rest of the year, I'm saving my body for the big run between the Rumble and WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Shinsuke is very, very much the same way.
Do you think that's why he's kind of been treated that way with, you know, by Vince and all of everybody?
Shinsuke Nakamura needs to be motivated.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon is not in the motivation business. He's in the making money business, and he doesn't have time to motivate you.
Right. Yeah. No, that's a good point. And I never knew that. So thank you for giving a little backstory on Shinsuke, because I wasn't.
Shinsuke's great.
Yeah.
When Shinsuke wants to be great, he just doesn't want to be great all the time.
Fair enough. Like I mentioned, he was eliminated by AJ. AJ eliminated quite a few people here. Austin Theory was
number... did really well for himself tonight.
He really did. He was in there for 30 something minutes, 32 minutes, something like that.
Well, yeah, and I mean, Shinsuke, Austin Theory, Bobby Roode, Ridge Holland, Sami Zayn, Omos, like, he had a good run tonight.
Yeah, he did. Austin Theory being number three, I was kind of shocked at that. I thought Austin might have a better spot. They are mentioning that he's being groomed by the chairman, which, you know, look how that worked out for McIntyre when he got started. So I hope he doesn't get that same treatment eventually.
But Mitchell Cole said something that really rubbed me the wrong way. When Austin Theory gets eliminated, Mitchell Cole has the audacity to say that Vince McMahon is going to be proud of Austin Theory for how long he was in the match. Vince McMahon doesn't appreciate losers.
He doesn't. He wants a winner.
He doesn't care how hard you tried, Austin, and you came up short. He wants ruthless aggression.
That's right.
No, he's not going to get a pat on the back and, oh, you did really good tonight, kid. No, you didn't win. You suck. You're a loser.
Vince is not in the participation trophy business.
No participation trophies and no motivation.
Yep. Do you think he gets a tongue lashing on Raw Monday night?
He should.
He should. I agree.
Vince McMahon should almost fire him.
You got to
and then he gets interrupted. Right. You know, like,
You got to prove it to me. You got to make me proud of you. You got to go out there and take on Omos.
You got to go out there and fight the most ruthless killer in WWE history, Shane McMahon.
Are you surprised that Shane came out when he did and didn't last as long?
I'm surprised Shane McMahon didn't eliminate Austin Theory.
True. I know that would have been a great play. And maybe that's the play down the road, but this would at least planted the seeds for that.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Let's see. We got number four, Bobby Roode. I was shocked that he didn't come out to Glorious because I'm not watching it. I didn't realize he was still in a tag team with Dolph. So I guess they changed their song. So I thought I was really pissed that Glorious didn't play. So
you realize how many goddamn tag team wrestlers were inside of this Rumble?
Quite a bit. Yeah.
Holy crap.
I agree. Spots to fill, dude. They need spots to fill. He was eliminated by AJ. Ridge Holland was number five, also eliminated by AJ. I didn't realize that Ridge Holland was that big of a guy. Apparently, yeah, he's Sheamus' protege. He's a big dude. I could see a big future for him.
Yep, he's going to be around for a while.
Yeah, hopefully he is. But it looks like he got his nose shattered by Ricochet, they said, on SmackDown last
week. Yeah, time. Ricochet 450'd onto his face.
Oh, fuck me. Yeah, that hurts. Yeah, I can imagine. God, and he's wrestling the next night after? I mean, that's got to hurt, dude.
It works being Sheamus's protege because now he gets to wear the Sheamus mask.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. And AJ even made a funny comment. Are masks even allowed in this match? Fucking AJ. God. I love AJ.
I thought it was funny when AJ punched him, he sold it like, holy shit. He shook his head.
Fuck to hurt, yeah. No, I love
it. Yeah, so maybe we're looking at a loaded mask going forward. Maybe. You can't even punch Rich Holland in the face because you'll break your damn hand.
Maybe. Dude, that's how good AJ is. It's the little things.
Yep.
It's the little things. Number six was Montez Ford, eliminated by Omos. Number seven, Damian Priest, the U.S. champion, also eliminated by Omos. Number eight, Sami Zayn, eliminated by his old buddy, AJ Styles. Number nine, I thought, was actually had a chance to win the event. Johnny Knoxville from Jackass, which...
But you thought Johnny Knoxville might actually win this?
Dude, with the way Vince McMahon books, you never know. I mean, the movie's coming out, WrestleMania main event, mainstream.
I mean, AJ had the spot of the night, right?
Yeah.
Where he lets Johnny Knoxville punch him in the face, and then AJ's like, all right, my turn, and hits him with that crazy combination.
Yeah.
And then he turns to the camera and says, welcome to Jackass. I just thought that was freaking great.
I popped huge for that. Yeah, that was absolutely the spot of the night. number 10 was Angelo Dawkins. He was eliminated by Omos. Number 11 was Omos, who got eliminated by AJ and, well,
everybody else.
Literally everybody else in the ring. Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious. You got all these guys trying to throw Omos over the top. All it takes is one phenomenal forearm.
That's it. So he knows Omos is, that's his weak point. I mean, he tagged with him. He knows his weak points.
The flying forearm to the middle of the back. That's what will send the big man over the top.
That's right. He was teetering. It's physics.
Yeah.
Chad Gable.
WWE physics.
Chad Gable is pretty funny. He's like, I got a plan. Gets everybody to stop fighting and says, okay, Damian, you're the biggest one in the ring. You go after him first. He's like, okay. And then he gets eliminated and okay. Eventually they all jump on Omos and AJ is wanting to get him out. And, God, man, Omos is a big dude. He's green as goose shit. Dude. I think if he gets better in the ring, he's got a pretty good future, but I don't know how much of a promo he can. I mean, he's got that deep, like, Green Mile voice, the dude that played there. I forgot his name. Michael Duncan Clark, I think it was. Similar voice to that, real deep. He could be a monster, but I don't know. I think people kind of like him, right? So for now, he's a babyface.
It's a matter of time until he becomes Andre the Giant. Yeah. He becomes just the beloved giant.
Right.
You know,
and he's legit bigger than Big Show, right? I think he's taller.
He's like a legit like 7'3".
In better shape too. Yeah, for sure. Let's see. Number 12, Ricochet, pride of Paducah, Kentucky. He was eliminated by Happy Corbin, who yep. I just love the fact that he's called him Happy all night. Didn't even just call him Corbin, just called him Happy. Chad Gable's number 13. limited by Rick Boogs, who was is now like the strongman. Is that his gimmick now? Like,
evidently, yeah.
Did he stop playing guitar?
He's becoming Simon Gotch.
Didn't he look like that with the fucking pose with his arms and his hips? Yeah, I thought that was weird. But I didn't realize how fucking strong he was. Like, he really is a powerhouse. And that's how they're presenting him now, as being, you know, a big powerhouse, big strong dude.
It's funny, man. Like, as we're going through this list, the amount of mid-card talent that the WWE has.
Yeah, it's staggering. And they got rid of a lot of it, and they still have a lot hanging around.
They have, like, no main event talent, but boy, do they have a bitchin' mid-card.
They really do. Stacked. They're stacked at the mid-card position. Dominic Mysterio was number 14, eliminated by Happy Corbin. He didn't last long at all.
Why was Dominic Mysterio dressed as a stormtrooper?
I don't know. Him and his dad like to color coordinate and all that shit, too, so I don't know.
That was weird.
Bring your kid to work day. Number 15 was Happy Corbin. He was eliminated by Drew McIntyre, which we were not expecting him to show up at all. Number 16 was Dolph Ziggler, eliminated by your favorite artist, Bad Bunny.
Yes, Bad Bunny was in this match.
Here's the problem I have with Bad Bunny, and it's just me being a cranky old fuck. I go back to Table for Three on the network. It was Mean Gene, Roddy Piper, and Paul Orndorff. They were talking about WrestleMania 1, the main event, with Mr. T involved. Roddy said, we had a plan to not let T get any offense in. We did not want an actor to come in here, play wrestler for a day, and go back to his friends and tell them how great it was. Roddy Piper was going to fucking spike him on the floor and knock him out. But he thought better of it. But they did their best to not let T get any offense in because he's not a wrestler. That is the old school kayfabe protecting the business. That's where I still come from. Bad Bunny made a mockery of everybody that's on the road doing this 300 days a year, sacrificing their bodies each and every night, or in, you know, whatever, in the house, whatever their schedule is now. It's just, he's not a wrestler. He's a musician. He has no business eliminating anybody or getting any offense in. That's just me.
Typically, I would agree with you, but he did this to Dolph Ziggler. And this just further proves my point from the pre-show that legitimately everybody beats Dolph Ziggler. Everybody. Even Bad freaking Bunny beats Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, that's true. My wife said the same thing. Like, why is Dolph even here anymore? Like, why is he still... Yeah,
I mean, if this was anybody else on the roster, I'd have a problem with it. But it's Dolph Ziggler.
He did a fucking destroyer on Matt Riddle. Come on, dude. Matt Riddle?
I mean, how many people did Matt Riddle eliminate in this entire thing?
Zero.
Yeah. What's that tell you how they feel about Matt Riddle?
Which is a shocker, because we kind of see him as a star if he goes heel. But I don't know if that's going to happen.
Just don't think Vince gets him.
No, I agree. He doesn't get it at all. Absolutely agree. He thinks the whole dumb stoner thing. He's typecast.
Yep.
And Vince doesn't see him. Vince is probably never even... He probably didn't even know that he was a fucking MMA fighter, to be quite honest. He might not have one clue. Yeah. You think Pritchard would smarten him up? Bad Bunny, where the fuck
is he? I'm not sure Pritchard knows.
Yeah, that's fair. Madcap Moss, 19. Riddle was 20, eliminated by Brock. Where the fuck did I leave off? Where was Bad Bunny? What number was he?
Oh, Bad Bunny is way further down the list. Yeah. He's like 27.
I totally skipped ahead. 20 was Riddle, eliminated by Brock. 21 was the returning Drew McIntyre, eliminated by Brock Lesnar. You and I did not expect it. I threw it out there in the pregame show. Could we see a Drew McIntyre return? And you thought that he wasn't cleared to wrestle. Was it a legit neck injury, or was it just the worked angle with Moss and Corbin?
Now I question it.
Because
absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things with WWE. You never really know.
Yeah.
When they say that somebody's injured, and it's because they do things like this that you never really know. Right.
And I guess they said he came back early. So I don't know. At this point, and they even mentioned how, you know, Corbin and Moss dropped him on his neck. Maybe it was a work. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
But he looked good as always. I thought
you looked like Drew.
Yeah. I thought if Brock didn't show up, that Drew was actually going to be the winner which, you know, he easily could have been. Number 22 was KO Kevin Owens, eliminated by Shane O'Mac. Number 23, Rey Mysterio, eliminated by Otis of the Alpha Academy. I didn't even realize that him and Gable were a tag team and the Raw Tag Team Champions. I had no idea. No idea.
Yeah, yeah, they beat RK-Bro.
Strange. Fucking strange. The whole thing, even RK-Bro, is just strange to me. Number 24, Kofi Kingston, eliminated by Kevin Owens. Did Kofi botch the spot?
Oh, yeah. Kofi absolutely botched the spot.
Didn't he already do that spot, I thought?
I think so, but
I thought he did the whole grab onto the barricade and he got himself up and tippy-toed his way back onto the steps.
Well, it could have been a different plan, right?
I could have been, yeah.
Very easily. True. But where he still had to catch himself. But, he absolutely botched the spot.
Which is funny. When I was talking to Jason Powell this week from ProWrestling.net, I said that live TV is very difficult. The only spot we really remember fucking up or being a fuck up was John Cena and Batista from 2005, mm-hmm. where they both slipped and somehow fell out at the same time. Luckily, that's when Vince came down, jumped in the ring, blew his quad out and just sat there for a while. But, you know, given the fact that Kofi has done all these absolutely crazy spots over the last how many ever years, it's amazing he never botched one. And I jinxed him. It's all my fault. I'm sorry, Kofi. I apologize for that. His feet hit the fucking, not even just hit the floor, but just kind of stood there for a second.
Well, and it doesn't help that the camera was on him when he did it.
Yeah.
To show that his feet didn't hit the floor.
But then you got the announcer saying, oh, he's like, I think Cole said, he saved himself. He saved himself. And then they show the other angle. They didn't
realize that there was no getting out of it.
No. So they show the reverse angle of where he clearly was just standing on the floor. But it was, Labrat says it was good on the ref to go ahead and eliminate him. So, dude, yep. That's what Jimmy Corderas told me that they were trained as. Treat it as a shoot. If the talent fucks up, the heat's not on the ref. It's on the boys in the office.
Yep. Yep. And now when Kofi Kingston gets buried and released in a year and a half and his children can't eat anymore because daddy's not bringing food home to put on the table, it's all Rad Rob's fault.
Yep. It's my fault.
Because he jinxed him. Like he's Rad Robhausen.
I see what you did there. Yeah. Well, start a GoFundMe for Kofi. He'll be all right. Number 25, Otis. We already got that. Eliminated by RK-Bro. Number 26, Big E. Eliminated by RK-Bro. RK-Bro.
What an afterthought Big E was in this match. Well, huh?
Sonic the Hedgehog says he could see Big E versus Lashley at Mania. At this point, do you believe in Big E after all this?
I mean, I almost feel like we could see Big E and AEW by Mania at this point. Like, I feel like Big E is just dead in the water right
Lost
now.
Lost all his team, 100,000%. Yeah. Yep. Bad Bunny, number 27, eliminated by Brock Lesnar, which was awesome because he took an F5. I would have done the smart thing, like McAfee said, just jump over the top and eliminate yourself. So you don't have
That's to what I said, kick. Too.
Yeah. So you don't get your ass whipped. Number 28 was Shane O'Mac. Big pop for him, which was nice.
This was awful. Everything about this was awful. I do not want to exist inside of a universe, be it the WWE universe or the real life universe, where Shane McMahon and his awful working punches can beat up Matt frickin' Riddle.
Well, I mean, they're both MMA fighters. Sorry.
Bro.
Number 29, Randy Orton. Eliminated by Brock Lesnar. My wife waited up to watch Randy come out because she's had a thing for him for the last 20 years. But saw the porn stash and says, that is the first thing I've ever been turned off about from Randy Orton. And he's no longer attractive to me.
I think the porn stash is just absolutely fantastic. Randy Orton pulls it off. I think it's great. I was waiting for Randy Orton to come out because I knew he was going to get the pop of the night being from St. Louis.
Exactly.
I knew that place was going to pop huge for him. And boy, did St. Louis not disappoint.
Nope, they didn't. They really cheered him strong. And he seemed to rake it all in too. So that was a cool moment. Obviously, being in your hometown, you know that he's not going to win. So that was just the death knell that the fact was in St. Louis.
That was one of the things I was most looking forward to on this show was the pop for Randy Orton.
Yeah.
And then we got the thing I was most looking forward to on this show that I wasn't sure was going to happen. And that was Matt Riddle and Brock Lesnar being in the same ring together at the same time. I don't think that has ever happened
that
before.
That is true. Good point. Yes.
And for anybody that follows the behind the scenes, there's just a little bit of bad blood between those.
A little bit. Yes.
Just a little bit.
That's a good point. I didn't even think of that. Who eliminated?
I was waiting to see if Brock was going to dump him on his freaking stupid head is what I was waiting
for. Brock did eliminate him, but yes. Fantastic spot, though. Caught Riddle in midair with pretty much with like one hand and just fucking tossed his skinny ass over the top rope. I thought that was one of the coolest.
Brock Lesnar, bitch.
Yeah, pretty much said, you can talk all the shit you want. Try me.
Do you know what? He should put that on a t-shirt.
He should, yeah.
I'm Brock Lesnar, bitch.
Yeah, I like that. Your money. Your money, dude, I'm telling you.
He's Brock Lesnar. He can make that work.
Brock Lesnar. Randy Orton was eliminated by Brock. He came down to the final two of Drew and Brock Lesnar, as I called it. Drew went for the Claymore. Brock was smart enough this time to dodge it. Gave him the...
Learned that from Samoa Joe.
True. That's a good point. Gave him the old spinneroonie outside of the ring, and that was it. Brock Lesnar is your 2022 Royal Rumble champion.
My problem was Brock Lesnar came out and he was all happy and smiley, like, everybody look at me and what I'm about to do here.
He's a new John Cena, right? John would fucking smile no matter what happened to him.
The problem is, shouldn't Brock Lesnar be pissed off and out for blood and I am going to murder these dudes?
Yes, which he did murder him anyway, but he just had a smile on his face.
He did, but he did it all happily, like...
Well, he knew
and
what
not,
he knew.
And not in like the American Psycho or, you know, Mr. Blonde kind of happy sort of way. It was just, it was, I felt like Brock's tone and body language and facial expressions were all wrong for what the moment called for. Like, I'm fine with the result, but I don't think that it landed the way that Vince kind of had it in his mind. Like, I think he had the beast like coming out of the depths of hell to come and rage his war on heaven. Like, that's the way Vince had this written in his mind. And instead he got an 8-year-old going to the circus with backstage passes.
Do you think it's because Brock just, number one, doesn't give a fuck. And number, because he can do whatever he wants, right? I mean,
well, he's Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. And number two, he knows it's a foregone conclusion. He's just going to go in there and fuck everybody up. So why not have fun with it? Why not? He knows in his mind, I'm going to kill these motherfuckers. And he enjoys killing motherfuckers. So why not be happy about it? He enjoys
Kibbles
his work.
And Bits. Kibbles and Bits says, I wish they would have done the take someone spot gimmick with a pissed off Lesnar.
Yes.
They should have sent Veer. It should have been Veer.
Veer should have been
walking out. Oh my gosh, we've seen the vignettes, and oh my god, we've been wondering what's. And then Brock murders the dude and takes his spot.
But Veer's coming to Raw. He's not coming to the Royal Rumble.
After Brock Lesnar murdered him, he wouldn't be going.
he wouldn't be going anywhere. Yeah, that's true. Is it just a meme at this point? Like, because they, I mean, didn't they do it with?
Yeah.
Was it Tensai they did that with, or was it Funkasaurus? Where they just, I think it was Tensai.
To me, it's becoming almost more Emelina.
Oh, yeah. Dude, good one. Very good one. Yes, you're right. Maybe Veer will never come to Raw.
Maybe Veer will never come.
I have no segue for that.
We'll die a virgin.
That wraps up our post-game show for tonight. What do you see going ahead to Chamber? Any thoughts that you're calling it the Elimination Chamber, so it's not... The WrestleMania Chamber that our friend Dave Meltzer said it was going to be.
So we will have a Jew in the Elimination Chamber in Saudi Arabia.
It's possible.
In the very first ever Jamal Khashoggi Classic.
You think it's going to be Goldberg that shows up?
Yes, I do, because he still has a couple of matches on the contract.
One, I think, right? I think it might be only. Well,
yeah,
I heard it was one. You never know. They could extend it if they wanted to.
Saudi Arabia will be the biggest payday that he will get all year, even if he comes back for WrestleMania. And I'm sure that, you know, Vince can scrounge together a couple of dollars off of that Disney Indonesia TV deal.
Right.
And maybe, you know, throw Goldberg an extra $20 and be like, you want to come get beat up at WrestleMania? We need star power.
Kibbles and Bits, Goldberg and Lashley. I actually texted you that tonight.
Hard pass.
But he gets his win back.
The thing is,
Lashley gets his win back, right? And he you know, because he got put through the tables and off the ramp and all that. So
I need a match with Bobby Lashley against somebody like, not against Finn Balor, but somebody like Finn Balor that is small, is fast, creates a lot of movement, is a total bump machine, and Lashley can just pick the dude up and throw him around for 15 minutes.
Well, Marco Stunt doesn't.
That's what I want.
Marco Stunt doesn't have a deal, so there you go.
There you go. Marco Stunt versus Bobby Lashley in the main event of WrestleMania. It'll be stupendous.
Book
yeah.
It. That's money. Book it right now. That's money.
Yeah, it's good shit, pal.
That's good shit. We don't know if there's going to be a women's chamber match, but we definitely know there will be a men's chamber match. Do you have one for both shows, or do you just what do you do? Since we had Brock is on SmackDown, you're gonna have a Raw chamber match, I guess, to decide the winner. Is that how they do it?
I don't know. The Jamal Khashoggi Classic. It's you know. So, no, I don't expect a women's chamber match.
Okay, so I'm assuming it's gonna be a Raw chamber match. Who do you put in it?
Holy shit, I got to come up with, what, six dudes to put in this thing from Monday Night Raw? Holy crap, Rob.
You could put in Rollins, obviously. You could put in AJ.
Do you want Rollins to lose that match, though?
No, I think Rollins can possibly win that match and then decide, I want to challenge Roman Reigns. I mean, you never know.
Yeah, but he's already occupied with Brock.
That's, again,
I mean, we're trying to figure out who Lashley's going to fight, right? So, okay, let's see. We put Seth Rollins in there. We've got to put the Jew in there. So Goldberg's in there.
Yep.
We can put AJ Styles in there.
Yep.
We can put Austin Theory in there.
Yep.
I'll put
Omos, maybe, just for the attraction.
I don't think Omos will fit in the chamber. I think he's too tall.
Good point. He can't fit in a chamber, right? Like, he definitely would have to, like, they have to build a special chamber just for him.
Damian Priest, we could put him inside of the chamber. Isn't he on Raw?
Even though he's a U.S. champ? I don't know if he...
Yeah, why not? Well, why not?
Yeah, why not? Fuck it.
I mean, fuck it. Why not, right?
One more?
And then I need one more.
Shane McMahon.
You know what? Let's take out Damian Priest and let's put in both members of RK-Bro.
There you go.
Let's put Riddle and Orton in there. Owens is another one. Oh, Kevin Owens is on Raw. Cool.
Yep.
You got to throw him in there too.
Out of those six, who do you think has the most likely chance of winning?
Seth Rollins, unfortunately.
He'd have to be, right?
Yeah, but I feel like they should have split up RK-Bro tonight.
Yeah.
They should have had Matt Riddle be the one to eliminate Randy Orton.
Yep.
You do and then you could have done both of them inside of the Elimination Chamber. And to me, Matt Riddle versus Bobby Lashley, that could actually build up to be a good WrestleMania.
That's a money match. I would actually love to see that. I really would.
Yeah.
I think that's
what I would have done.
Women's side, do we think Asuka makes a return at some point before WrestleMania?
I freaking guess so, man.
Yeah.
And I mean, you could advertise that you're going to do Asuka versus Charlotte Flair. And if Asuka's not cleared, you can just bring in Io Shirai and Vince won't know any difference.
True. And we didn't see Bayley and we don't know what her situation is either. So that's another main event player. Sasha's out
there now. Sasha's back, you can go to Sasha and Charlotte.
So Ronda's going to be in Raw Monday night. I'm assuming. We assume. Well, they showed a graphic saying that she was going to be on Raw.
Oh, okay.
So I'm assuming she's going to announce who she's going to face. So we'll have a better picture this coming Monday on Raw of where Ronda's going, whether it's against Charlotte or it's against Becky. What happens in between the two? Are we going to have any title switches at the chamber? I doubt it, just given the fact that it's in Saudi. So, you know, whoever Ronda picks, we got to choose who's going to be on the other side. And if she does pick Becky, that leaves nobody for Charlotte.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's it'll be interesting to see. I'm also interested to see if if Brock shows up on SmackDown this week. Because again, he can challenge whoever he wants. If he's not on Raw, we're going to assume he's going to be on SmackDown, and that leaves where do we go with Lashley? So a few questions that we need answered in the next week or two. Hopefully we'll get some clarity this week, but Jargo, as always, buddy, I know it's late. I appreciate you being here. You're a night guy anyways. I mean, you're a graveyard shifter, so.
Yeah, but not on the weekends.
Not on the weekends.
I'm actually incredibly late at this
point. Did I fuck up your schedule? Are you gonna recover?
Well, I kind of thought this show was only going to go about an hour, and I got to go pick up my daughter. So
why did you tell me that, man?
Well, because we were doing the show and shit. She's texting me like, Dad? So, find me on social media and not Jargo. Rad Rob, right. Thank you so much for having me, my friend.
Yes, sir.
I must bid you adieu.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right, man. Be well.
So that wraps up our post. He's such a nice guy. He's such a pro. He wasn't even going to say that that he had to go pick up his daughter. But yeah, it's 1:50 here East Coast time, and 12:50 where I am in the Central Region. But guys, I hope you enjoyed this Royal Rumble post-game wrap-up show. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at RadRobGaming. Check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/RadRobGaming, streaming every Tuesday night and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And check out my YouTube page, RadRobGaming, which a lot of you are on right now. Tons of videos there, whether it's the new wrestling content I put up or it's my gaming videos. Also, my 7,000 podcasts. This has been a very, very hectic week. I usually do the big events for Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. So this year was the third annual Rad Rumble week. I had 8 shows in 6 days. And we'll do it again for WrestleMania. It'll be Rad Mania 4 coming up this March. Brad Shepard says, hey, what's up, Brad? Brad's here. Love that show, Brad Shepard Unleashed. Yes. Brad Shepard is part of the easy for me to say. I'm just fucking tired. The Rad Rob Radio Network, Brad Shepard Unleashed, drops every Thursday, anywhere podcasts are found. Brad is back from kicking COVID's ass, and he's here to put the marks on notice, which is what he does every single week here on the Rad Rob Radio Network. Brad Shepard Unleashed, every Thursday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, if I remember to post it in time. So you can check that out. Also have RTW main event that drops every Thursday as well. That's Ocho and myself. It's kind of our comedy podcast where we just kind of shoot the shit and do funny stuff. And we have a top 5 contest every week. That drops on Thursdays. RTW Rewind typically drops on Sundays whenever we put a show out. The Dork Side of the Ring with Husey and I, that drops on Saturdays, typically twice a month. We're taking a break until March. We're going to kick it back up during WrestleMania season. What else we have? Straight Up 5 with Johnny Petraglia Jr., son of PBA Hall of Famer Johnny Petraglia Sr., along with Ocho and myself. We talk about bowling, and Johnny breaks it down like nobody else can. A very entertaining show. You'll learn a lot about bowling if you happen to, you know, care to find out the physics and what goes into bowling balls and lanes and all that shit, so you can check that out. Yes, the Butt Beauty of the Week will be up this Thursday on Unleashed. We'll see who makes the cut next Thursday. Goddamn. Uncanceled with Drake Wirtz. Drake Wirtz, former NXT referee. He is a conservative Christian podcaster now. He's also running for state House Representatives in District 30 in Florida. So Drake and I do a show that drops every Friday. I think that's it, man. Just too many fucking shows. But we're adding more to the network this year. We have proud to have Marie Shadows on with her Squared Circle podcast. And we're looking to get more acts signed this year. But I appreciate you guys' support. I appreciate everything from this another successful Rad Rumble week. Good numbers on all the shows. And I'm done. This is my last show for the week. I'm beat. I'm going to relax and watch some football tomorrow. NFC Championship game and AFC Championship game. Looking forward to watching some football to see who's going to the Super Bowl this February. Until then, guys, I appreciate all your support. Thank you for hanging out here on YouTube and Twitch and everywhere else. And all those listening on the audio feed, I appreciate all of you as well. We'll do another week like this during WrestleMania weekend or WrestleMania week. And I'll be back for my normal shows on the same schedule, which can be found right here on the Rad Rob Radio Network. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of RTW Rewind. For all the latest news and announcements, please follow us on Twitter at RTW Brand. You can also follow Rad Rob at Rad Rob Gaming. You've been listening to RTW Rewind exclusively here on the Rad Rob Radio Network.